Our sermon for this Passion season, this Easter week, this week, then so many things have happened 2,000 years ago. This sermon is entitled Death to Death by Death. Oh, hear it again, the most amazing words, death put to death by death. Now those of us who know war know that the size and the destructive power of your weapon makes all the difference of whether you win or you lose in combat. For example, in history, the arrow was replaced by gunpowder and the bullet replaced by the bomb, the horse by the tank, the knight by the airplane. But from the bomb came bigger and more destructive bombs. The Manhattan Project was an incredible human effort to create an atomic bomb, the bomb of bombs during the World War II years. Yes, it was extremely complex and took years and great expenses, but it was urgently conducted by the American government to build that nuclear bomb. All of civilization hung in the balance unless the nuclear bomb was built. The most knowledgeable men were assembled from around the world, and all of their collective brain power was employed in developing the atomic bomb. Something so destructive, a weapon like has never been seen before. Yes, the nuclear weapon was a game changer. It was the ultimate physical weapon that instantly changed all of World War II. But now in our sermon this evening, we are not going to be talking about physical weapons, but rather spiritual weapons, and especially the ultimate spiritual weapon. How infinitely more sophisticated and more powerful was this ultimate weapon created by the Trinity and developed in the Council of Peace from the stillness of a never-begun eternity long before the creation of this world? Yes, there, the Trinity and the Council of Peace, otherness, designed, developed, implemented, and commanded the Grand Master Blueprint of the creation, and also the spiritual weapon God would use to redeem it. Yes, in His omnipotence and in His omniscience, the Trinity not only knew, but decreed that all mankind in the first world, in the first Adam, would fall into sin and become a curse. And in the way of grace and mercy, the Trinity here provided a means, a weapon to escape for lost sinners. Yes, in the creation of the ultimate spiritual weapon, the human nature of Jesus Christ, body and soul, the second Adam, the curse remover. Reverently speaking, yes, never has there been such a powerful weapon ever been made. We can read of the first creation of the Trinity, of that body before eternity, in Hebrews 10, verse 5, see, a body hast thou prepared me. Yes, that weapon, that body, Scripture speaks of here, is that human nature formed by the Trinity in eternity. And that body of Hebrews 10, verse 5, was the sinless perfection of the second person, where He developed, where He assumed a human nature that would be given by God and conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary 2,000 years ago. As we said, that body, that weapon, reverently speaking of Jesus' human nature, formed in the Council of Peace long before creation, was the ultimate weapon, the ultimate spiritual game changer of creation. Again, it was the second person of the Trinity assuming a human nature, and in his almighty divine power, in his human and in divine natures, was God's answering weapon to conquer and to destroy Satan's powerful weapon of death. O divine wonder of free and sovereign grace, that God so loved the world of his lost, undone sinner, sinning children. Yes, that weapon is the center of his grand master blueprint for the redemption, for the salvation of beatitude sinners. Yes, it was that highly gifted second person who had assumed a body, assumed a human nature, a gifted nature. Oh, come, come, let us take the shoes from off our feet and bow in the dust before God's great white throne of mercy. As we read of this ultimate spiritual weapon created and used by God in the war against the ultimate weapon of Satan, which was death. Oh, who can fathom that unspeakable miracle? Yes, that war of the ultimate weapons took place on Golgotha's hill. And that titanic clash of weapons is the subject of our Passion Sermon this evening. Oh, hear the word of God pertaining to this ultimate spiritual weapon. Our scripture will be found from five different places. Hebrew 10, verse 5. A body thou hast prepared for me. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Acts 2, verse 24. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he, Jesus, would be holden of it, of death. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Jesus, might have the preeminence. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. This evening we'll try to fathom and look at something of the indescribable mystery of the war between Satan and God, and see death being put to death by death on Golgotha. Our text we will especially focus on is Genesis 3, verse 15. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yes, we will look at this gigantic war, this titanic war, in three main points. Our first point is Satan's weapon of death. Our second point is God's weapon of His only begotten Son in His human and in His divine natures. And our third point is that titanic clash between these two weapons on Golgotha, unfolded on Good Friday and on Easter. Yes, in our first point, Satan's strongest weapon is death. Death was formed by Satan in his satanic, unholy trinity. Satan, death, and hell. Oh, he designed it. Death is the king of terrors, a most fearsome weapon, the last enemy. Yes, we know death is so fearsome that all people on earth cower in fear when they must face him. For no one who is a sinner can stand before this weapon of death. Yes, we see death pictured already in Revelation 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. Yes, death was Satan's strongest weapon. And in all of our deep fall, all flesh, in our original and actual sins, became victim to it. For we became infested with the seeds of death in every cell of our body. And we must die. No flesh had any power against death, for death relentlessly attacks our human flesh. 50 billion people have been born on the earth so far. Only two, Elijah and Enoch, escaped from death, from being killed by death. Yes, from birth, every human, you and me, are dying. But especially after middle age, advanced age, the effects of death apply to every cell of our body, in sickness and in old age, seizes us more and more. Reduces every cell of our body, reduces our strength, stoops us down, until finally we stumble and fall lifeless into the grave. Oh, then our soul immediately goes up to heaven to be judged for heaven or hell. There is no third way. Yes, the exact year, month, day, hour, and second of our death is set by God from eternity, and it cannot be changed. And it is one appointment you or I, no one, will ever miss, most certainly not. Oh, have you thought about your death? Have you thought about that you must die because of sin? Tragically, people today take far more plans and care, planning their vacation, than what they plan and prepare for their long eternal destination in eternity. Oh, come, let us wake up and storm God's throne of grace, pleading for mercy and grace, pleading that He may yet make us a subject of His curse reverser, the second Adam, the weapon of our subject in this sermon. Yes, now remember, Lucifer or Satan was a created angel. He was made on the first day of creation. And obviously, as a created being, Satan did not sit in the council of peace from eternity, nor could he know what the body the Trinity developed in Hebrews 10, verse 5, really was. Satan only knew that his weapon of death ruled supreme over the whole earth. because no sinful human flesh could defeat his weapon of death. Yes, Satan knew that even the smallest unforgiven sin, the smallest unforgiven thought of the holiest of saints, if there was only one, would still earn death, still earn eternal hell. So heinous was sin. But oh, what a game changer for the condemned, sin-laden world was this body, this weapon, formed by the Trinity from eternity. Yes, Satan did not know what to do with Jesus, for death, his powerful weapon, could only be applied to sin, to sinful humans, and it could only work within them to bring about their death if they had sin. But Jesus had no sin. He was sinless, and therefore death stood powerless against Jesus. He without sin. Yes, previously Satan had only laughed uproariously at the supposed righteousness falsely claimed by even the most righteous person on earth. For Satan knew no fallen human could escape his weapon of death as long as they had uncovered sin, as long as they lacked the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their sinful condition, washed white as the snow in the blood. Yes, Satan knows better than any humans, and all the evil angels know that all humans are born dead in sins and trespasses. And if we die the way we live and we're born, then hell is our automatic destination. Oh, do you ever think about that reality facing you who know not the blood covering of Jesus Christ? Yes, every other human on earth, Satan knew he could control and twist and turn whatever way he wanted because of their original sin, their actual sins. But now this Jesus was an absolute mystery to Satan, for Jesus was without sin. Again, being without sin meant that death, the king of terrors, which again was Satan's strongest weapon, had no power over Jesus, the sinless one. Oh, Satan knew that, and how he desperately strove to get Jesus to sin, to do one sin, for then he knew he would have power over Jesus. Oh, how he strove to tempt Jesus in the wilderness with all manner of sin, urging him vehemently, just do one sin, knowing that any sin would make Jesus a failure, which was impossible. Yes, but for that reason alone, death could not hold Jesus in the grave. And after 3 days, when his assigned time decreed in Scripture to be spent in the grave was completed, then Jesus rose from the dead by himself. Yes, 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 Jesus resurrected himself, breaking all the bonds of death, grave, and hell from inside the grave. The 100 pounds of spices and the many rolls of woven burial cloth could not imprison Jesus, but he lifted himself up through them all. Yes, with his almighty power, the weapon of otherness, Jesus used it as a hammer of his death to metaphorically in the grave smash death to smithereens from inside death. That's why Jesus had to die. No, nothing could hold Jesus in the grave as he relentlessly first beat death to death inside his grave. Yes, the Jewish leaders had made the grave of Jesus as secure as possible. But now the terror of the Lord came upon them and the armed guards fled in terror. The seals of the great stone were broken. The angels came down from heaven to roll away the great stone door. But remember, they did not have to roll it away to let Jesus out of the grave. No. Jesus had risen already many hours before. The angels simply rolled the great stone away to let the world see in the grave that Jesus was not there. He had risen. He had risen indeed. Yes, the second Adam, the curse reverser, had not only escaped death, but he had destroyed death within death's sanctuary. Oh, how strange it was. In every other human on earth, the grave diminishes every human body as it returns to dust. But the opposite was true with Jesus. His body increased beyond measure. Corruption was not found. And in the power of his death and resurrection, Jesus was gifted great strength in the grave. Yes, Jesus, in the death of his human nature, grew mightily in power and in majesty inside of death's sanctuary, inside of death's secret place, where he destroyed death by his resurrection. Oh, I don't think that he stayed in the grave 1 second beyond the 3-day requirement of 3 parts of a day, arising 1 second after the completion of the 3rd day. God would not be separated from his Son 1 split second more than what he had decreed. And yes, as we said, Jesus raised himself up from death, the death of his human nature. And Jesus rose through those binding clothes, the 100 pounds of spices that had formed, as it were, a cast around him. He didn't have to unwind it. He didn't need a door anymore. Yes, we read of Jesus now in his highly gifted advancement in the grave, walking through closed doors, disappearing and reappearing in his resurrected body, in his glorified body. Incredible things past any human knowledge. Yes, we can barely dip the toe in the ocean for the knowledge of the greatness and the glory that Jesus attained inside of the grave. Yes, we humans live confined within a 3-dimensional world, but all the Trinity lives in an unimaginable infinity of dimension times dimension. There are no fences, there are no borders to the otherness of God. Oh, it was nothing for Jesus in his glorified body, his sanctified body, when he, as the second Adam, rose from the curse of death and reached the perfection that God had created and intended the first Adam to reach. Yes, that's what we ruined in the breach of the covenant of works. Oh, yes, just as Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, in his human nature, in becoming obedient to his stepfather and his mother on earth, now much, much more, infinitely more, in the power of his resurrection, Jesus the curse reverser grew more and more gifted and mighty in power and in majesty as it relates to his human nature. Yes, the power of his resurrection gained in his burial inside the grave, inside of death for 3 days, was far beyond measure, infinitely beyond. But yes, remember, all this growth of his gifted nature was only in his human nature. For Jesus in his divine nature always was infinite God, the second person of the Trinity. Yes, God who is immutable and could not change. Now in our next point, the battle of these two weapons, Satan's weapon, God's weapon, in a physical battle, in physical war, it is devastating to have the enemy inside of your ranks. For there they can much easier destroy you from the inside than the outside. There's no protection from the inside that there is from the outside. And that same principle is true in the spiritual world. To accomplish the death by death of death by death, it must be attacked from the inside of death, inside death's sanctuary, the grave. Oh, one of the most powerful of combat strategies, as we said, is to penetrate inside the strong military force and destroy from within. It is much, much easier. Death, the strongest of enemies, could resist any attack upon the outside of death's defenses. But Satan did not design death to meet a sinless person, and death could not survive when it was attacked from the inside by its own weapon of death in the sinless Jesus Christ. No, death as a weapon had no defense against sinlessness. And yes, Jesus in the body formed by the Trinity from eternity was without sin and could thus use death and could enter into the essence of death and put death to death to death. Oh, we cannot say it enough. What an infinite wonder. Must we not sink away in wonder and amazement at such a wonderful plan of the infinite wisdom of the Trinity in the formation of this powerful spiritual weapon, the human nature, the body formed in the Council of Peace that, of course, accomplished its exact purpose? Yes, Jesus had to die. He had to die to accomplish this, to enter into death's sanctuary. And for that reason, he came in the fullness of time, born to die. This is why all the efforts by any man to prevent his death, Jesus sharply rebuked them and rejected all the good intended efforts so many made to prevent his death. Oh, how Peter hurt him with the sword, imagining he could defend Jesus with the sword and prevent his death. Oh, how even the high priest mocked Jesus hanging upon the cross before he died, begging Jesus, begging him to come down from the cross. Come down, they said, come down, come down, and then we will believe you. No, Satan did not even want Jesus to actually die, but rather to give up as a failure and to sin and to therefore not complete his sacrifice, therefore not complete the promise from eternity that placed him inside of death's sanctuary in his grave. Yes, Jesus gave himself willingly for that very purpose. He came to die. For we read Jesus relentlessly set his face toward Jerusalem's cross. And again, because it is so important to understand in this Easter season, yes, because he died, Jesus could shatter death from the inside of death's most sacred sanctuary, its most vulnerable spot, his sinlessness destroyed death. Yes, from inside the grave, Jesus put dust to death with death. Yes, Jesus used his own death as the sinless one, as a hammer of his death, to smash death to smithereens from inside death. Yes, certainly there on the cross, Jesus defeated death in principle. However, rising from the grave, Jesus destroyed death in actuality, in reality, completely, making a pathway through death as the firstborn, a pathway for his children to follow. Yes, they still had to die, but in dying they entered life. Jesus had made the way in defeating death. Yes, Jesus had to die to accomplish this goal, this task assigned him by the Trinity. Nothing else, no other weapon would destroy death from the outside. In any kind of an assault against death from the outside. Oh, how many have tried to defeat death with this weapon or with that process, but they always face defeat and ultimate death. For death is the last enemy. Death is the king of terrors, and because sin dominates and infests even the holiest of all men, Satan foolishly imagined that his weapon of death would defeat anything God created. And yes, for 4,000 years it certainly looked true, as Satan strove mightily to prevent the birth of Jesus. For even Satan did not know the real power of the sinless God-man. Yes, it was a mystery to him. And yes, in defeating death, Jesus was the firstborn from death. Death could not hold him in its steel fists. For Jesus was without sin, and sinlessness could crush death from within. Oh, we say it again, it is so awesome, so incredible of a wonder. Yes, death was invented by Satan and came into being with our covenant breach in Eden. And death reigned supreme, until a greater weapon than death engaged it in battle upon the cross. Oh, how powerful is death! The grave is never full. Sickness, illness, and death cry out continually, more, more, more. For nearly 50 billion humans are estimated to have died already on earth. that in the resurrection of Jesus, death thine, oh, is that not a cause for rejoicing? Is that not a cause for his children to rejoice always? Death put to death by death. Oh, can we sing of the wonder of that grace? Death died by the only weapon superior to death, the body of the God-man formed in the Council of Peace. Yes, during those 4,000 years, death's destruction was great upon the earth. Just read history and the wars and the diseases and the graveyard and weep. Weep. Oh, only look at the river of tears which death has caused throughout the history of the world. Oh, how great a river of tears it was cumulatively that death has caused. But now, on Easter morning, God's beatitude, children, can lift up your eyes. Victory, victory over death has come. Oh, lift up your eyes and see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, standing outside of Golgotha's grave. Oh, see him. We pray that God may give us eyes to lift up Jesus Christ and see him in all of his power, might, and majesty. The Almighty One standing upon the crushed head of Satan, death and hell. Oh, Satan's head crushed, death crushed, grave crushed. Oh, lift up your eyes, all of God's children, all those who know the beatitude way. And see by grace the crushed head of your greatest enemy, Satan, death and hell. Oh, see Jesus now standing outside of his closed grave, shouting out in victory in this Easter season, crying out on Easter, that incredible taunt of death, where Jesus says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? O infinite wonder of free and sovereign grace, O pray for grace to rejoice in him, that our eyes and our ears may be open to see him in all of his might and glory and power and in his ability to heal, as Moses has lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness. All those ready to die might be saved, might be healed with one look to the uplifted brazen serpent. Oh, so we lift the interceding Jesus before our spiritual eyes today, begging God to take away the veil from our eyes, the veil from our heart. Oh, then we shall rejoice with Jesus outside of the grave, facing the grave. Yes, we must still die, but then we can say by grace, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? My Savior has crushed your head. My Savior has crushed and destroyed death and hell for me He, the firstborn from the dead, has made a pathway for me to heaven. Oh, if we may realize just the smallest portion of that grace, that wonder, that majesty, that glory, then we would never stop kissing the feet of the Trinity. Through Jesus, who has reconciled us again with, and by the Trinity using their designed weapon to defeat death, destroying it, smashing it to smithereens, and making a way through death for God's people. Oh, in this Easter season, in this Easter week, oh, we pray that God may open our eyes and ears to see something of what Jesus has shouted outside of the sealed grave that Satan thought would keep him. Oh, let us shout with all of God's people. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Amen.